And now I'm old. There's some things that I've witnessed. There's some things that I've experienced. There's some things that I've read about. I have a little bit more knowledge and understanding and wisdom today than I had 35 years ago when I came to Tabernacle. And my friend, I want you to know I believe that we're living in an age when we've fallen away from what God would have us to be. We've taken the prayer and Bible out of the schools. I've witnessed that. I've witnessed abortion being made legal and the loss of and respect of the sanctity of life, the acceptance of trying marriage instead of a commitment of marriage. I've lived in an age when pornography's always been around, but not as a $1 billion a year industry. Promiscuity. And that was taking place when I was a young lad as well, but my friend, I want to tell you something. It is not uncommon for us to find it in the church and in our pulpits. Gay and lesbian lifestyle that it is exalted and condemned if you speak against them or believe otherwise. Our work ethic has been abandoned. I was taught some things growing up, and one of those things is I better do my chores. Well, if a man doesn't eat, he wouldn't eat. Well, when I was growing up, if you didn't eat, you got tar beat out of you. I mean, if you didn't work. Boy, when daddy told you to go do something, you wouldn't did it. Now, I believe that there's some teaching that was going on. It seems to me that we've lost our consciousness. Things that have been wrong and sinful, they're no longer viewed as being in that way because they are so common among us. I believe that these things have worked to eroding who we are in the very fiber of our being, whether it be in our personal lives or whether it be in our families, whether it be in our communities, whether it be in our churches. We've allowed these things to slip in and they destroy our lives. We've taken, we've promoted things in our children which should never have been promoted. We allow certain things to transpire. I think children ought to be children. And I just think it's sad when we adults try to make our children be adults. We require from them the same thought process as we have. We require of them the same level of obedience that we think that a person should have, even though we don't do it ourselves. We require of them a mental capacity or thought process of an adult. And God help us when we dress our little girls like models that are walking across the model platform, parading themselves before others individuals. And I see it in our churches. We want to doll our little girls up and make them, let them be children. Let them be children. Listen, I've been here for 35 years and for most of those years I have done the K-5 graduation. We had that this past Thursday night. And we had kids in this auditorium. We had children. Younger children in this auditorium and 5-year-olds up here on the platform. And you could drop a pin. It was so quiet in here. Everybody was so attentive. Everybody was so focused. Whenever I got up to say something, it was just... That's a lie. I was having to turn up the volume right here. Focus on some things and push this crowd out over here and this crying baby out over here and this. Well, Pastor, what do you expect? You allow them to come into the auditorium? I got what I expected. That's why I'm the guy that's doing it. Marcus would be saying, you better. And then we'd have a fight right here in the auditorium. When I was a child, but when I became. We should be conscious that, listen, we are allowing worldliness, we are allowing the world's philosophy to erode the righteousness which we as believers should strive for and the perfectiveness that God asks of us. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Paul said that the things written before are written for our example, our ensample, our admonition. We ought to be able to learn from somebody else's situation. And there was a young man by the name of Josiah. Josiah went to the throne when he was 8 years of age. And after 18 years of him being there, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. A 26-year-old guy. I was watching a little bit last night some of the things that was said about they were honoring individual and some things that were said, and it was sad to me that they said that this man had access to any woman that he ever wanted. And I thought, how sad for that to be something to be thought of, that this is who people are. Josiah, at 26 years of age, was king. He could have had anything, anyone. And the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He didn't turn from the right hand or to the left hand. He went straight. He was doing that which was needed to be done. I think that that's what we need to do. We need to step back, my friend, as fathers, as mothers, as preachers, as Sunday school teachers, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as single people, as teenagers, as children. I think we need to step back and say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. And make a determination in your own heart and in your own life that you're going to be what God would have you to be. And not be part of that falling away which is going takes place. Well, how do I do that, preacher? What do I do? Well, there in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 15. This place of perfectness. Look at verse number 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to that which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's time for us to just put God first. Is this microphone not working? It's not working. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't push the button, I guess. Him first. Turn me down just a little bit, Chris. Him first. Our lives ought to be about Jesus Christ. They ought to be about Jesus Christ first in our lives. I talked a little bit last week how that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that we seek after. He promised they would come to us. It shall be added unto you. But the greatest thing in our lives is that we seek Him first. First commandment. The love of the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine mind, with all thy soul. Listen, we ought to put God first in our lives. Let Him be first. Well, I tell you, I'm going to serve God. I'll serve God as long as my job will allow me. No, put Him first. I'll serve God as long as my parents. Put Him first. I'll serve God as long as my mate. Put Him first. As long as my children. Put Him first. I'm just saying that we need to put Him first. You want to be what God would have you to be. You want to be a full growth. You want to be a mature individual, a Christian. You want to be that which Jesus said, be ye perfect. Then the first thing you need to do is you need to understand that God is asking that you put Him first. First. First and foremost. I cannot think about God requirements of Him being first in our hearts and in our lives without thinking about that which took place in the life of Abraham when God said, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. What do you love? What is it that you desire? Give it to God. I believe that He'll give it back to you. And I think that when He gives it back to you, that He'll give it back to you in a manner and a way which you're certainly going to enjoy it. If He doesn't give it back to you, He'll give you something better. I believe it with all of my heart. There ought to be nothing in our lives that we would allow, we would permit to steal our love, our affection, our desire for Him. Nothing in our lives to draw us away from Him. Let's be ye perfect. Look at verse number 16. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 16. He said, let the word of Christ, that's the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, it's strange to me that He says that we're to have the peace of God, and the peace of God are to rule in our hearts. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. And we are to allow Him to have rule in our hearts. But not only is that, but we are to obey His Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And in doing this, He's saying that we're to be thankful. We're to be thankful. We're to be thankful that, listen, we've allowed God to be first in our lives. He's given us the strength to allow Him to be first in our lives. We're to be thankful that He's given us the Word of God that we might be able to obey it, that we might be able to follow after Him. He'd have us to be obedient unto His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Bible is ought to be honored in our homes and in our lives, and it certainly ought to be honored in our churches. We ought to have respect to the Word of God, and we ought to allow the Word of God to be preeminent in our lives as well. He's guiding us through His Word. We need to understand that the Word is everything about our lives ought to magnify God's Word in our lives. Now think about this for a second. I talked about a few years ago, I talked about worship. And a lot of times people think that worship is our song services. And when I was in Africa this past year, I had to explain to them, they wanted to have worship for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then they wanted to have a Bible story for 15 minutes. Now I don't mind the hour and a half, 2 hour song service. I didn't mind it at all. It was good. But they said that's worship, and so now you give your undivided attention and the pastor is going to come and he's going to read a few verses of Scripture. And I said, let me show you something. Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible says that they brought the word of the Lord forth, and here is Ezra, and Ezra opens up the book and they worship God. This is just as important as our song service. The preaching of the Word of God. Yeah, but see, you're not as entertaining as a song service is. You don't allow everybody to participate as we do in the song service. He says that in what we do, admonishing one another, we're teaching one another. We're encouraging one another. How we're doing that? Through our psalms, through our hymns, through our spiritual songs, and singing in grace in your hearts to the Lord. What kind of music you listen to? And when I talked about worship a few years ago, I talked about some of the music that is coming out today. It really made an impact upon my life when Reggie Sadler, is that his name, Brenda? His gospel singer, when he told us that to learn the hymns, because the songs of yesteryears are written about the number one. And the songs of today are written to be number one. Now, there's a difference. Well, I don't like singing some of the old songs. Like, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells... Well, that's just children's stuff. We wouldn't sing that. But if you were to sit down and think about what that little song says, think about some of the songs that are being sung today. I don't know what they are. I listen to less music today than I probably have ever in my life. But listen to your songs of today. What is that encouraging? What is it about? Some of the songs that I've heard is more about me than it is about him. It's more about us than it is about him. And even our songs ought to be encouraging. That's what he says. That even our songs ought to be about encouraging us about him. It ought to strengthen our confidence in the Word of God. Songs ought to be doctrinal. What is the song that... never mind. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, how do you think salt loses savor? Now think about it. Jesus said it's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. How does salt lose its savor? What does salt do? It seasons. It makes us thirsty, doesn't it? When people look at our lives, do they look at us as seasoning? Do they look at us as a preserving? Do they look at us and it causes them to thirst after what we've got? He's not any different than I am. Then you've lost your savor. You've lost your savor. You're the light of the world. That's the next verse, Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the world. And if you hide your light, what are you good for? Obedience to the Word of God is a wonderful thing for us as individuals. But can I tell you something? It's something that the individuals out there need to see and hear. It's our witness. It's our testimony. How can I keep from falling from this perfectness? By just putting God where He ought to be. By being obedient to the Word of God. And I'll steal from the army. Be all that you can be. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 18. He said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." He says, ladies, those of you that are married,
there is something that you need to be. Now, you need to be what you need to be according to the Word of God. I was teasing Jason this week because he's become engaged and got a beautiful, sweet fiance, and they're going to get married next year, and I teased him a little bit. And you hear me talk, and I tease a lot about marriage and husbands and wives and things, but he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And wives, I'm just going to tell you, you just need to be what you ought to be. But he doesn't stop there. I'm just saying, be all that you can be. He says, husbands, we need to be what we're supposed to be. My lesson today, my thoughts today is not about being a good wife. It's about being what God would have us to be. That we grow up. That we be mature individuals spiritually. And each and every one of us, whether we're wives or whether we're husbands, or he says children. And children, obey your parents in all things. For this is the will. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's what God wants out of us. And he says, fathers, provoke not your children angry, lest they be discouraged. And instead of putting fathers up there, I put parents. Then listen, there's some things that we need to be. And we ought to be it. We ought to decide that we're going to be an example of a godly mother and a godly wife so that others might be able to see what they're supposed to do. We ought to decide that we're going to be a godly father or a godly husband. That way others can see what they're supposed to do. We ought to decide that we're going to be an example of a godly son or a godly daughter so that others can see what they're supposed to be doing. Just be what God would have you to be. Be all that you can be for His glory. And then in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. We just need to tell others. We need to share it with others. We need to be the examples. And I'm for living an example. I'm for being what God would have us to be. Strongly for that. Some people talk about lifestyle evangelism. I am strongly for lifestyle evangelism. But my friend, it goes beyond just looking at my life and being an example for the Lord Jesus Christ and being, as Paul said, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. But it has to do with also by taking and teaching them, by sharing the Word of God, by telling folks this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. That we might be able to go on to this perfectness. Bow with me for a word of prayer.